Knock, in a railway, the in a silly. You're listening to the award-winning podcast.
Perfect.
Football music.
We're Woo! Back with football. Football is back. Fuck Corona.
Yeah.
We're watching football. We have scores of played football games. We're watching the Dallas Cowboys lose to the Los Angeles Rams. Currently it's 20-17. There's less than 5 minutes in the fourth quarter. What are they going to do, Alex? What do the Cowboys need to do to pull this one off?
They need to play better football and then win the game.
I was thinking the same thing. If they were to score more points than the opposing team, then they might come away with a victory here.
That's true. That's probably true. This is obviously the award-winning podcast.
Damn straight.
You are listening to Alex and Jace.
That's me.
That's the other guy over there. And, we're going to talk about football.
This is a special segment we're going to try to do week by week throughout the football season called Easter Sunday.
Yes, sir.
It might not always be on Sunday, but our last name is Easter, so it's a pun. It's a play on words.
If you will.
Yeah.
And we will. So, let's get right into it. What we're going to do is we're going to break down every game, and we might even talk a little bit of fantasy because it's really important to us.
Yeah, that's the only thing that keeps me involved in football. So I assume the same is true for a lot of people out there.
So, obviously, the first game that happened was this past Thursday. It was the Chiefs, and they played against the Texans in an AFC divisional round rematch.
Yeah.
Where the Chiefs... If you might recall, in the playoffs last year in the divisional round, they were down like 28-0 or something like that, and then they come roaring back and ended up winning by like 20 points.
Yeah, like they do.
Yeah, that's what the Chiefs do. If you have Pat Mahomes, the game is never over. Well, the game was over pretty much as soon as it began because the Chiefs kicked the shit out of the Texans. The score ended up being kind of close. What was it like?
Yeah. It didn't really reflect an ass-kicking, but...
No, but it was. It was an ass-kicking from the beginning. The Chiefs' defense looked really, really good. Either that or the Texans' offense just looked really out of sync.
Right. It was good to see David Johnson put up some numbers time in a long time.
He looked really good, and that was cool because in the offseason, the Texans just did pretty much a straight-up trade. They traded away arguably their best player, DeAndre Hopkins. Mm. They traded him to the Cardinals... And they got David Johnson. And most people, myself included, were baffled by
it. Did not see the value in it whatsoever. Right. You got Hopkins, who is, at the time, a top, three receiver?
He's one of, if there's five better receivers in the league, I want to know who they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's that good. And on every...
Trading for somebody who had the, most disappointing year, fallen from... top three to bottom 20.
So he was hurt most of the year and banged up, and then he lost his job to Kenyon Drake. And, he's been underwhelming for at least the past 2 years for sure. And so the trade, it definitely didn't make sense at the time. And, even if David Johnson plays really, really well this year, it probably still will end up being a lopsided trade, especially considering, spoiler alert, DeAndre Hopkins fucking killed it today. He had like 14 or 15 catches for like 130 yards today.
Wow.
Yeah, he was an unstoppable force in that win against the Niners. But yeah, the Chiefs won. It wasn't a complete blowout. The Texans made a run at the end and, it made it a little closer. But for the most part, it was not, it wasn't very close.
Right.
Pat Mahomes was very efficient. Missed on a few plays, I think. The one thing we're going to see a lot of, I think, through the first couple of weeks especially, is teams are going to be a little rusty. There was no preseason, and there was no preseason games, and the training camps were very abbreviated, and it's obviously a very weird time just in general, but especially with sports. you know, you can only do so much contact, and you're just trying to make sure everyone's safe, which isn't really all that doable in a sport like football, which is just inherently dangerous.
High contact, play by play. But yeah, fantasy wise, Mahomes didn't. He didn't quite disappoint, but
he didn't
when
wow
it comes
like
to,
has,
I got 20 in our family league. I got 28 points out of Pat Mahomes. I got 15 out of Tyreek Hill. And while those are nothing to sneeze at, they're just not quite the numbers that you would hope to be put up by the Chiefs. But that's week one. Like you said, it's going to get better as
I think they knock off
some of the cobwebs.
Yep. It's but yeah, it was still just great to watch football.
Yes.
You know, after all this time, you know, I know it's really starting on time for the most part, but it seems like so much longer ago. Like, it's impossible for me to think back on the Super Bowl and think of it as being the same year as 2020.
Right. This year has been so long. Like,
because it seems like ever since that moment, the world has been in a downward spiral. You know, not that it was great before, but obviously COVID.
Not a lot of good news coming out these days.
Right. It's been rough. And it's like when Tiger King came out. Like,
exactly.
Seems like it
That's
came
what
out
I was
going to
say. Like, yeah, that swept the nation and... Just think that was earlier this year.
Right, it's crazy. But yeah, overall, the Chiefs look good. I still think that they're going to... As long as they have Pat Mahomes, I still think they're going to win that division. And I think that they're probably the favorites to repeat at Super Bowl champion, to be honest.
They got
to
be.
You know, I know the defense isn't great, and the O-line isn't great, and there's other pieces that maybe you might want, but good luck fucking stopping them on offense.
Mm-hmm.
But... Yeah,
they got the tools to get it done, and
for sure
they'll probably get it done.
Great coaching, great quarterback. Shit, can you really ask for more? No. Anyway, we'll move on, and we'll talk about the games that happened this Sunday.
And first off, we got to talk about the Bears.
We got to talk about the Bears.
Bears won somehow.
It was one of the more infuriating games I've watched. Like, by halftime, Jason and I were both openly calling for Nick Foles to get out there and start taking snaps. Because Trubisky just looked lost. He looked like he couldn't hit a pass.
He had like
to save
two good throws the whole game.
He was 8 for 20 at one point, and I'm just... It never made any sense. The running game was working okay. It was rough. The Lions... Here's the thing. They didn't look great either. And the real only story... for the first half and for most of this game, to me, was the reemergence of Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
He came out strong.
In that first play, he gained like 20 yards.
Yeah, he was just out of nowhere.
But he had the biggest lane I've ever seen.
Here's a tale of two running backs. You've got two running backs who were both released pretty close to the same time frame. One being Leonard Fournette. He was a top 5 pick just a few years ago, and the Jaguars were tired of him, and they released him. And then you had Adrian Peterson, who's in his, you know, mid-30s. I think he's like 34.
Yeah, past his prime.
Way past his prime, obviously. You know, but he's been a solid player for the Washington football team. And now they cut him just kind of out of nowhere. And there wasn't a whole lot of fanfare for it. I don't think there was a lot of people clamoring to go get Adrian Peterson.
Not much to do over it.
But there was sure a lot of attention being paid toward Leonard Fournette. And if you watch the two guys play today, I don't know that you'd be able to tell just by the eye test which one was the 30-something-year-old and which one was the young, virile, former top 5 pick just a few years ago. Because Leonard Fournette, while it was a very limited sample size, he did not look as sharp or explosive somehow as Adrian Peterson, who looked like he turned back the clock, and all of a sudden now, instead of being 34, he's like 27.
Yeah, I mean, say what you want to say about him as a person, but he's one of the best people to ever play the game, and you can never really fully rule somebody like that out. I mean, it's been quite some time since he really, had the name recognition. He'll always have the name recognition, but I'm thinking purely fantasy-wise. As far as somebody you want to go after, he hasn't had that in a while. But he's still proving relevant with those big bursts.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and he was relevant the last couple of years just by proxy. You know, the Washington did not have much at all over the past several years. And Peterson was one of those guys.
They had a lot of mediocre running backs.
They were able to rely on him game to game. Was he going to give you the giant games that he used to give the Vikings? No. That's gone. But
the days of,
he's,
you know,
solid.
180-yard games.
But he looked really good, especially with very limited time to prepare for this game.
Mm-hmm.
The general, you know, thought going into this was he wasn't going to touch the ball very often at all. He ended up being their best running back throughout the game.
Yeah.
But it was
against the Bears, and it's not the first time he's destroyed.
Right, yeah. I was pretty pissed off, honestly, when they signed him. I'm like, oh, just watch. He'll find a way to torch us again, because that's all he ever fucking used to do.
But it wasn't quite enough, because the Bears eked it out.
The Bears were down by a lot at one point, and the offense...
It was 7-23 at one point.
Yeah, it was bad, and that might not seem like the biggest lead, but considering how bad the Bears had been offensively, it seemed insurmountable.
And not great defensively either.
Yeah, defensively they gave up some big plays. You know, the Lions got kind of hot at one point, and Stafford just wasn't missing. And then obviously Peterson was tearing us up in the running game, even with Kerryon Johnson and DeAndre Swift. They were hitting on big plays. And the Bears' defense just did not look like the Bears' defense is supposed to look.
I think one of the biggest momentum shifters was the screw-up by Swift. Whenever he had that almost layup-like pass going to the end zone. And
biggest
he just,
momentum shift. That was 6 seconds left on the clock.
Was it?
Yeah.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah. But, so, long story short.
That should have got them the win anyway. And he fumbled it. Not fumbled.
He didn't fumble. He just didn't get it done.
Yeah.
So the Bears make the comeback. They manage to somehow fight and claw their way. Mitch Trubisky, for all of his faults, I will say this. In a hurry-up mode where he has to come roaring back in a furious way, that's usually where he's at his best. Because he starts to use his mobility. You see his confidence. He's not thinking about the play and the development of the play. He's not trying to make the reads. He's just moving, and he's an athletic quarterback. He gets out of the pocket. He's just moving around. And he's firing passes, and he looked really good for like the last 5 or 6 minutes of the fourth quarter. Other than that, he was not great.
Yeah.
But,
as a professional quarterback.
But he got the job done.
Alive in the last few
you can't
the
ask for more. He got
yeah,
the job
he got,
done.
He got it done. We got the win. We're 1-0. And now we're watching the Dallas and Los Angeles game come to an end.
Yeah, it looks like.
6 seconds in the fourth. LA's still up by 3.
Yeah, it's over.
It's done.
Dallas just had a turnover. had a turnover on downs. So
come out, they'll kneel it, and that's the game.
That's the game. 1st and 10. Yep.
So, Los Angeles Rams begin the season 1-0.
This was, I did pick them to win this game.
I had a favorite, too.
Most of the experts were picking the Cowboys, and, you know, I understand that. I understand why. I felt like the strength of the Rams, to me, is not their offense anymore. I think it's their defense.
Yeah.
You know, gone are the days of Todd Gurley being the all-around best player in the league, arguably.
Mm-hmm.
Their passing game isn't going to be that explosive, especially down the field. I just don't think they have the O-line for it. But, you know, there's still so much talent. Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, great receiver tandem. You've got Tyler Higbee, the good tight end,
yeah.
And Gerald Everett, another good tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all well and good. But the defense is where their money makers are.
Yeah,
I mean
that's
where
the leadership is.
Well, you've got Aaron Donald, who, for my money, pound for pound, is the best defensive player in the league.
Yeah,
and, like,
I'd say so.
He's just so dominant. And then Jalen Ramsey at corner there's two real shutdown cover corners in the NFL right now. One of them is Stephon Gilmore, just won Defensive Player of the Year. The other one is Jalen Ramsey. Mm-hmm. And Jalen, he's like 6'2", he's long and strong, and he's
gotta get the friction on.
Exactly. And he's stupid fast, and he could jump out of the gym, and he's like an athletic genius.
Yeah.
He baits people into making throws. He's kind of like a taller, not quite as good Deion Sanders. He's really, really good.
That's high praise.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Rams win. They move on to 1-0. And that means that the only team that did not win in the NFC West was the 49ers. They lost to the Cardinals.
And I'll just go over the other scores of the games really quickly. So we had, obviously, the Texans lose to the Chiefs. Bills over the Jets, 27-17.
Which was not a surprise. I think most people would have bet on the Bills kicking the shit out of the shitty-ass Jets.
Jets are about the worst team in football.
They're pretty close.
Right there with the Dolphins.
Well, I think the Dolphins are improving. I can't really say that about the Jets.
Okay, and then we also had the Packers and the Vikings, which is a pretty high-scoring game. We got the Packers with 43, the Vikings at 34.
Yeah, it started off as kind of a blowout, and it was another situation where the Vikings managed to kind of make it close, but for the most part, the Packers kicked the shit out of the Vikings.
Yeah, so we got the Packers and the Bears at the top of the NFC North, so...
Yeah, and then it's always scary whenever you've got Aaron Rodgers playing at that high level, because you didn't see it a whole lot last year, but he was excellent today. He had something like 370-yard passing and 4 touchdowns. He was
fantasy-wise, I don't know what numbers he put up, but I think it was around 40 points.
Well, you know, one thing you got to take into account, our fantasy scoring is way different.
Yeah, it's different than a lot of people's.
But yeah, either way, he had a great day, and he was... He's another one of those guys that kind of turned back the clock and really showed just what makes him one of those Hall of Fame amazing quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so one of the bigger upsets of the week, in my opinion, Washington over the Eagles.
Yeah,
27-17.
The Washington football team. I think everyone, especially considering they're coming into a season with a new coach, they're coming into the season with all kinds of question marks just at every position. And not only that, just the tumultuous offseason they had. There's all of the controversy surrounding Dan Snyder, the team owner, with sexual assault allegations and stuff like that. There's the chaos with the name situation. They still literally do not have a name. They are called the Washington Football Team. It's amazing. It's one of the funniest and craziest things that's ever happened.
The Washington racial slurs.
That's my pick for the... that way you still have that RS,
Yeah. All right, and then we had the Ravens over the Browns. That was an absolute blowout. 38 to 6.
You know, there's always... There's a ton of hype being surrounding the Browns. You know, Baker Mayfield, former number one overall pick, Heisman winner. Odell Beckham Jr., obviously. Everyone
just couldn't connect today.
They just did, that's been kind of the story for those two over the past 2 years.
Yeah.
There seems to be almost no chemistry.
Right.
And I know that they like to try and force the ball his way, but it's just not working. Something, I don't know what it is, if it's just their chemistry, or is Odell Beckham losing a step? Does Baker Mayfield just not have it? Because he was so good his rookie year. And obviously Odell Beckham was amazing in New York.
Oh, yeah.
You figure that talent is going to click eventually, and we'll see it come back.
I think, like you said, it comes down to chemistry. I mean, when you have somebody who starts off working with a proven veteran,
right,
it's a little bit easier to get the job done and become a major name in the sport whenever you have the talent level that he has. And
right.
You could have that talent level, but if you don't have somebody that knows you and can't get you the ball,
right,
what are you supposed to do?
It's like when Randy Moss went to the Raiders and he's got like Andrew Walter and Kerry Collins throwing him the ball. All of a sudden he goes from Randy Moss to a nobody.
Yeah.
And then immediately he goes to the Patriots and he breaks the touchdown record.
Exactly.
It's just all about being in the right situation. But
there's a lot of factors.
Yeah, and obviously the Ravens were arguably the best team in football last year up until the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. One of the most exciting players to watch, Lamar Jackson.
Oh, I would argue he's the most exciting player to watch.
He's got to be.
He can do everything, and he can do everything better than pretty much everyone in the world.
Mm-hmm.
he's an absolutely stellar athlete, and he's just growing. It seems growing stronger at the position of quarterback, being able to pick apart a team from the pocket more and more. He was 20 of 25 today.
Wow.
If he's playing with that kind of accuracy and he can run and do all the things he can do.
Yeah, he's unstoppable.
He's literally unstoppable.
Like, the Ravens need nobody else.
No.
Yeah. They need some average Joes that he can get the ball to, and he'll get it done.
He's Barry Sanders and Peyton Manning rolled into one, and that's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Weapon.
Right.
Then we have the Jaguars over the Colts.
Another upset. And yeah. At least, I would think pretty much everyone would have picked the Colts because the Jaguars are dog shit.
Yeah, so I put in T.Y. Hilton late in my lineup, and it was all due to the overview that, you know, said something about the Jaguars having, like, a very porous secondary.
They have a very poor everything.
So sweet, I'll put in T.Y. Hilton. He'll be good for, he'll be, a reliable flex. But he ends the game with, like, 9 points or something.
Yeah, he was pretty much a non-factor.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers had a nice start. Where I think there was a while he only missed, like, 3 passes. And he had something like 300 yards, close to that at the half. Mm. He finishes with like 360 yards and a touchdown, but he also had 2 picks. And so you live by Rivers, you die by Rivers. That's
right.
Phillip Rivers, especially over the last several years. Yeah, he's going to throw for a ton of yards, and he could be the guy that wins the game for you, but also he could be the guy that throws just dagger interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest story for me in that game is Gardner Minshew missed 1 pass.
Really?
He went 19 for 20. Now, he didn't throw for a lot of yards, so that tells you that...
Yeah, but he was efficient.
Right,
you're putting the
ball in the right spot. And they won. You know, you can't ask for more.
Yeah.
Gardner Minshew, the legend of Gardner Minshew, continues to grow.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Missing one freaking throw.
Right.
I don't know if I've ever seen that. I don't watch a lot of football.
I watch a lot. I don't know that I've ever seen anything quite like that. As, again, it's not like he was chucking the ball deep down the field. It was mostly short things, timing passes, which, whatever, he got it done.
Right. And so, now I'm getting to one of the most frustrating games for me, at least fantasy-wise, the Seahawks versus the Falcons. Seahawks pulled it out with 38 over the Falcons at 25. But I had Matt Ryan starting in my quarterback position, and I supplemented him for... I supplemented Carson Wentz for him because I thought Wentz had a better matchup. And on paper, he did. But Matt Ryan finishes the game with 450 yards, 2 scores, with 1 interception. But in our league, that's 42 points, which is a lot.
Yep.
Wentz finished the game with like 18 points.
He started off strong and then he threw a couple of picks. And
yeah, he was like, I think he had 270 yards, 2 scores, and 2 interceptions, which killed him.
Yeah, that's Matt Ryan, especially these days, because they were playing catch-up basically the entire game. The Seahawks were just taking it to them. Russell Wilson has never won an MVP. He's never won an MVP, but he has to soon. He might win it this year. What he did today is far more impressive than Gardner Minshew, because he was hucking the ball deep down the field. And he was, 30 of 35.
Oh, wow.
Or no, I'm sorry, 30 of 34.
Yes.
He missed 4 passes, and he threw 4 touchdowns. He had as many incompletions as touchdowns. That is efficiency at its max.
Yeah.
He was amazing. The Seahawks are a real threat. I think they're winning that division. The Niners didn't look great, which we'll probably get to them.
Right now, we're going to talk about the Patriots over the Dolphins, 21-11.
Yep, the return of Cam Newton. He's in a new town, but, he looked pretty vintage Cam Newton.
Yeah, he had 2 rushing touchdowns?
He had 2, well...
Or 1 rushing.
I think he had 2, I'm not 100% sure, but he had 14 carries for 75 yards. They used him a lot in the running game.
Yeah.
And you could tell that Belichick and the coaching staff were really excited to put together an offense for a completely different quarterback, type of quarterback than they've had over the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Obviously, Cam Newton and Tom Brady, they just play a whole different style. And they looked like they knew what they were doing. Now, it was the Dolphins. The Dolphins, as much as they have improved, I don't think that they're legitimate contenders by any stretch yet. So we, you know, it, we'll have to see what the Patriots do through the rest of the season. But I think people are discounting the Patriots early on, and I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, Brady's gone. There's a lot of pieces that just aren't there anymore.
Right.
Some defensive players chose to sit out for COVID. And so I understand that, but I understand that the AFC East is easily the weakest division in football, and it's fucking Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Cam Newton, if he can return to form and stay healthy, we've seen what he can do time and time again.
Beast, yeah.
He's a monster when he's healthy.
He's an older Lamar Jackson, but with probably less raw talent.
Well, I mean, he can't. I mean, obviously, he's not going to run as fast and, you know, all that, but he's 250 pounds and he runs like a fucking bull.
Yeah, he does not look like a quarterback.
No, he looks like a defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's great.
He finished the game with 155 yards passing, 2 rushing touchdowns. So, the 155 yards passing, that has probably more to do with an early lead.
Yeah, they're going to run the ball a lot.
Yeah, I wouldn't say
this is not going to be a
Dolphins shut him down or anything like that.
Well, because I think he only missed like 2 passes. I think he was like 18 for 20 or something like that.
Yeah,
very
so
efficient passing.
So we might be looking
passing.
At a new Patriots team that's more run reliant.
Oh, yeah.
They've always been a passing team because they've always had Brady.
Yep. Yeah, we're definitely looking at a whole different type of team, and I'm definitely interested to see what they do. The Dolphins, they have improved. Brian Flores did a great job coaching them last year, which it might not seem that way because they still finished with a losing record. But you got to understand, he inherited a team that had zero talent.
Yeah.
Like, they should have been an 0-16 team. And he still managed to eke out some big wins, including one, obviously, against the Patriots, which was crazy. Just the Miami Miracle, if you recall that.
Yeah, I vaguely remember it.
Or wait, no, that was the year before. But either way, they did eke out another win against the Patriots somehow. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, he's old, but that dude just gets it done.
I like him. I mean, he's been a reliable, whenever I've had to put in, you know, supplement a quarterback for a bye week or something, Fitzpatrick has gotten it done for me a couple of times.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and now, we're going to get to one of the more boring-looking games of the week. Just looking at the score, I didn't see any of the game. The Chargers versus the Bengals.
Oh, man. So, you're right. There
16 to 13, Chargers.
There wasn't much as far as, like, big scoring plays or anything like that. It's obviously, so Joe Burrow was the number one pick in the NFL, or in the draft last year, going into this year, whatever, how it goes. Was the Heisman winner at LSU, broke just about every record you could think of, just dominated, and was the easy choice for number one overall. Ohio native, it just made perfect sense. He started off his career with a 29-yard scamper for a touchdown.
Really?
Yeah.
First play of the
I don't know if it was
debut?
The first play, but that's...
Well, his first play.
I don't know if it was his first play, but he scored on a 29-yard touchdown, so that his first touchdown of any kind was pretty impressive. It was a quarterback draw, and he just ran. Yeah. But that's not what was amazing. So you haven't seen what happened then?
No.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So, it was kind of insane because, so they're down 3 points, and Burrow has like a 2-minute drive going, and he's hitting the passes. He's taking them down. It's rookie. I guess a pretty good Chargers defense, honestly, with Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram and the pass rushers and Casey Hayward and Desmond King at corner. Like, that's a pretty good defense, and they're that 20-minute run, or the 2-minute drill, Burrow was taking them down the field, and they got to where there was like, it was like a 30-yard field goal set up to tie in the game. And oh man, he missed on a touchdown to AJ Green. The only reason they missed on it was because AJ Green got called for an offensive pass interference. Otherwise, it would have been a touchdown, and they would have tied up they would have taken the lead.
Yeah, that's a rookie mistake. He's a vet.
Yeah, and then with 7 seconds left, I think it was 7 seconds, they decide they're going to go ahead and kick the field goal. They bring out Randy Bullock. He goes to kick it. As he's kicking it, he hurts his leg, and he shanks it from like 30 yards away.
Oh, wow.
Game over. Heartbreaker.
Wow.
Absolute heartbreaker.
That's all you have to do.
Right?
You hurt your leg kicking.
Right? It was crazy. You know what's funny? And I definitely shouldn't talk just because of who I am and how I look, but Randy Bullock does not look like he has any business on a football field. He's got like a beer gut and shit, you know? And it just seemed like it was an inevitability that he was gonna have like a cramp or something whenever he's kicking. It just, it was interesting. And it was an absolutely heartbreaking loss for if you're a Bengals
fan. I love those kind
of
athletes, so like in the UFC, Country Boy Roy Nelson.
Yeah.
Big old fat guy with a long rat tail, and he's just knocking out the most athletic, fierce men on the planet. It's beautiful to see that kind of shit.
This is a rough one for sure.
It adds a little bit of excitement. And that brings us to the Cardinals and the 49ers.
Yep. Yeah, that was, it was an interesting game. It was pretty back and forth. For the most part, it was pretty boring in the first half. There wasn't a lot of scoring. There's a few big plays. The one big takeaway is Kyler Murray is for real.
Yeah.
He
got me. He had me a pretty decent day in whatever league I have him in.
Yeah. He was great. He ran for like 90 yards. Whenever he ran, there was just no stopping him. But his passing was on point. And, you know, the addition of DeAndre Hopkins, a lot of people wondered how was that going to work. They tend to spread things out a little more. DeAndre Hopkins is obviously a volume-type receiver. Well, how it worked was they realized that they had DeAndre Hopkins, and they just fed him the rock.
Yeah, he's a great receiver. You got a good quarterback.
Feed him.
It works.
Go out there and feed him, Seymour.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a...
And when you can't get the ball to him, then just run it yourself there, right, Kyler.
So it was another one of those close games, and the Niners had a shot at the end. And, you know, you want to give Jimmy Garoppolo the benefit of the doubt, but because his wide receivers are nobody.
Yeah.
Like, they're top three receivers.
At tight end and nothing.
His top three wide receivers were all out. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all these injuries that have been piling up. They might be the most injured team in the NFL right now. They're in shambles. But the offensive line was much improved with the addition of Trent Williams, who was the very embattled Washington left tackle who didn't play at all last year after they found. Did you ever hear that story about him?
Nope.
So they found like a growth on his brain that was potentially cancerous or whatever. And the Washington team doctors basically told him, that's nothing to worry about.
Huh.
And he was like,
it's on
no.
Brain, so.
So, yeah, there was this whole thing, and he just said, I'm never playing for these people again. And he didn't, and he forced a trade this offseason. He went to the Niners, and he replaced Joe Staley, who had been one of the best left tackles in football, and now they replace him with someone who's even better right now. And he had a play that was making his rounds on the social media where... Like, any time an offensive lineman has a play, you know it must have been good.
Yeah.
He got to that, I want to say he got to, like, that third level on, like, a pull where he shoved the guy out of the way, took off, and he's a monster. He's huge. And he just decimated a much smaller man. But it was, unfortunately, that was all they could really muster was running the ball. The passing game just didn't look good at all.
Yeah, Kittle finished the game with 4 receptions, 44 yards, and he is their biggest target.
He's their
both
best
literally
target,
literally and metaphorically. So
he's their best target far and away, especially right now. And Raheem Mostert had a really big play where he went off for like 76 yards. Didn't do a whole lot after that, but
yeah, you're welcome.
Got a big
got
trade
you some
with
points.
Him.
Yeah. Wouldn't you rather have him than Boston Scott, who got me 7.4?
Yeah, but otherwise, just the offense from the Niners did not look, it didn't look anywhere near as good as it did last year, and they're definitely a situation where they need receivers, but they got to where they were in position to potentially win the game late. It was close.
Yeah, I mean, at 24-20, it seems like it would have been...
They were very close. And they obviously, at that point, you need a touchdown. You can't kick a field goal. and, you know, he goes to throw to the end zone and it's nowhere close. He missed so many passes. Just, even people that were open. He looked worse than Trubisky did in the first half.
Right.
He was awful.
So I'm going to save the next game on my list. I'm going to save that for last. We'll finish. We'll talk about a little bit more in depth about the Rams versus the Cowboys. So what happened there?
Well, the Rams started off like really, really well. They came out firing on all cylinders offensively, and they were just moving the ball with efficiency, running the ball really well, and they hit a touchdown on their opening drive. But after that, they kind of slowed down. The Cowboys were able to catch up. It was pretty back and forth. I think at halftime, the Cowboys did have a lead, but it was only like by a point. I think it was 14-13. And Zeke Elliott had a nice big day. You know, he was easily the best part of the Cowboys' offense. The Cowboys' offensive line struggled a bit. That's not usual because over the past decade or so, they've been the best offensive line in football. You know, and Tyron Smith is—he's still one of the best tackles in football. But you know, he's also getting older. Travis Frederick, their great center, he's gone now. He retired. Zach Martin's still there, but. You know, Lyle Collins was hurt, so going up against Aaron Donald and company is never going to be fun, especially if your offensive line's banged up.
Yeah,
and
it's a tough matchup.
Yeah, so whenever the Cowboys went to pass, a lot of times Dak was just constantly under pressure. And
the few minutes I saw, I could see that.
Yeah, and you know, Amari Cooper had a few catches, and you know, wasn't completely shut out or anything like that, but. He didn't have as big an impact on the game because he's being covered by Jalen Ramsey, the aforementioned second-best corner in the league.
Well, so he wasn't worth the $52 in the auction draft that our little brother spent?
No. No, wow. He's not.
Go figure.
not yet. Yeah. But yeah, I wouldn't put this loss on Dak. I wouldn't put the... Because when you're under that much pressure, it's really hard to get anything going. Zeke looked really good offensively. I think they're gonna be fine. I think their biggest problem right now is I don't necessarily think that their defense is up to snuff. There's a lot to like, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence and the ghost of Alden Smith. Like, where the fuck did he come from? He hadn't played in 5 years, and he's just all of a sudden he's here. Yeah, but
that was the guy from the Raiders that got in trouble with the gun, wasn't it?
It was so he started off with the Niners. And he was great for like 2 years. I think he had like 19 sacks his rookie year or some shit like that. Mm. It was unbelievable. But then, he just kept getting into trouble. And eventually the NFL basically washed his hands of him.
Yeah.
And he's been out there for 5 years. And I guess the Cowboys were just in position. Like, hey, fuck it, let's bring him. Because the Cowboys have proven on many occasions they don't give a fuck about character concerns. They had Greg Hardy back after like a year of him being suspended for beating the hell out of his girlfriend and threatening to kill her with his many, many guns.
Yeah, Cole Beasley just looks like he beats his wife. Alright, so the game I think most people are more excited about outside of their own fandom would be the Saints and the Buccaneers.
Right.
Tom Brady debuting in Tampa versus Drew Brees, and the Saints won that one 34-23. I don't know how easy it was. I wanted to watch more of the game. I saw the first half, sort of.
Why didn't you watch more of the game?
Because I was very, very tired. And I had a few rum and cokes early, and just kind of knocked me out.
Yep. it wasn't a great game to watch. It was very sloppy, which you kind of expect. Look, the naysayers are out in force for Tom Brady. Everyone's going to talk because he threw two picks. One of them was a miscommunication. The other one was just bad, and it was just a missed throw in the flats. And I shouldn't say it was a missed throw. It was a throw he absolutely should not have made to the flats. And, of course, the guy picked it and took it to the house.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of naysayers like on Twitter and social media talking about, oh, he's done, all this. I'm like, look, I understand he's 43. I understand that he's in a new team and all this. And, you know, we could say, oh, he was a system quarterback for all those years. Look, he's the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have gone broke betting against him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I fully expect, it might not be right away, but within the next 3 weeks, I fully expect Tom Brady has that offense mastered and is in full chemistry with his great wide receivers, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin.
Right. I mean, it's not like he, like, besides those two interceptions, it's not like he had a terrible day. He still finished the game with, it was somewhere around like 260 yards and two scores.
Yeah, you know, he, from a fantasy perspective, he did fine. On the field, those numbers really, I think they're honestly mostly garbage time. Because he was catching up from the...
Well, that's where Tom Brady is, at his Bradiest.
Well, that's where every if you're talking fantasy, that's where you want a quarterback. You want the guy who's just going to give you them garbage points.
Right. But nobody gets the job better, or gets the job done better in the last few minutes of the game under pressure than Tom Brady.
No, I 100% agree. And the score ended up being kind of close, but really, I think the Saints kind of outclassed him. But for all the hype of Brady versus Breeze, Breeze looked like shit too.
Yeah.
Breeze looked really bad. And I would argue he looked worse. I would argue he looked worse because Brady was at least taking shots down the field and trying to make an impact. Breeze wasn't doing that. It was all very much check downs. And Kamara had a nice day with a couple of touchdowns and made a couple of big plays. But, you know, Michael Thomas was a complete non-factor for the first time in like 3 years.
Did he get hurt?
He got hurt like at the very end of the game. Very end of the game, within the last couple of minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, and he just kind of limped off the field. But other than that, he just didn't do shit.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, it was crazy. But, you know, like I said, Tom Brady is going to be back. We know his track record. I can't imagine Drew Brees just goes from MVP caliber to, you know, nothing.
I think a lot of it is, like I said, they didn't have any preseason games.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of rust to be knocked off.
For sure.
You know, things will get better as they go. But another person made their Tampa debut today, and that's Tom Brady's former New England teammate, Rob Gronkowski.
That's true.
Who was basically a non-factor in this game. Two receptions at 11 yards.
Yep.
He could have not been there and nobody would have noticed.
Yeah.
Hopefully that gets better because I like Rob Gronkowski, but I don't think this is going to be one of his, you know, memorable years.
Going into the game, I thought Rob Gronkowski was going to have a big game just because when we talk about chemistry, Brady and Gronk played together for, a decade?
Yeah.
And if anyone has chemistry, you'd think it'd be them. And Brady looked off with him. And, I even saw it on social media and just watching the game. Gronk just didn't...
He did not have his smoothness.
He didn't look fast.
He was lumbering.
He looked really slow.
Yeah, he was knocking about rather than plotting and just getting
running people over and doing what he does.
Yeah. He wasn't growing today.
No, definitely
not. Not to say he won't get there, but it was just kind of rough.
Yep.
All right, then we have some games tomorrow.
That's right, we got Monday night. Two games because it's open.
Two games. We got Steelers and Giants first, and then we got Titans and Broncos.
I don't know why they do... What the hell happened in Monday Night Football? Because it seems like you get maybe two or three good matchups a year at Monday Night anymore. Sunday seems to be the new Monday Night. They're bad. Those are bad matchups. I fully expect the Steelers to obliterate the Giants.
Monday Night should have been Chiefs versus Niners. Super Bowl
rematch.
And
you
or
know
something,
what? Something big.
Memorable.
That's what it used to be.
Yeah, Bears and Packers.
Right. We'll probably see some matchups like that. But it's interesting because Monday night games just never seem to live up to the hype anymore.
Right.
Save for that Chiefs Rams game from a couple of years ago when they finished like 54-50. That was awesome. But You know, for the most part, we get some duds. And, you know, if we're looking at the matchup, if we're looking at the Steelers versus the Giants, you know, the Giants have a lot to like on the offensive side of the ball. They're a very young team. Daniel Jones is in his second year. You kind of hope he's going to take that leap forward. You never really know. The receiving core isn't amazing, but it's pretty solid. You've got Sterling Shepard, you've got Golden Tate, and you've got Darius Slayton, all guys who have made big plays as recently as last year. And Evan Engram at their tight end. If he can stay healthy, we know he has the talent to be one of those top-tier guys.
Yeah.
The offensive line has gotten better. Defensively, they're bad. They're awful. The one saving grace I think they have, just in general, is Saquon Barkley at running back.
Yeah, oh man.
Look, I know the hype on Christian McCaffrey, and it's well deserved. He did something last year that he did something last year that really hasn't been done before. You know, other than like Marshall Faulk.
Yeah, not by a white guy.
Definitely not by a white guy. Mm. You know, to rush for 1,000, catch for 1,000, and just the volume he handled, he was so great. And if you had him in fantasy, he outscored like every other back by like 10 points a game.
Yeah.
He was amazing. But for all of that hype.
Very frustrating.
Yeah. For all of that
if
hype.
If you didn't have him.
For all of that hype. My guy at number Saquon.
Yeah, he's just so talented. Those tree trunks for legs. He can fight through a fucking swamp and still, you know, run for 200 yards a game.
Yeah.
He's just an insane football player, and if he had the team, the supporting cast, he would be running for 2,000 yards a game, and catching for 1,000. It would be ridiculous.
He's so multi-talented. You know, he had a bit of a down year last year, and he got hurt in a couple spots, but he still finished with over 1,000 yards rushing and, you know, like double-digit touchdowns. He has every tool in the box you could ever want. He's a 230-pound back with blazing speed, and he can cut on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, he can catch passes about as well as anyone in the league not named Christian McCaffrey, as far as running backs. He had over 90 catches his rookie year. Like, wow. He is such a crazy talented athlete.
Yeah. And he's a threat. Like a
on every play.
Yeah.
On
no matter
every
where
play.
He is in the field, he's a
he
threat.
Can take it to the house. And he run you over and run
linebacker, he's a threat.
Yeah. Yeah, like I say, he's 230 pounds. He's bigger than a lot of the linebackers he's gonna be facing off against. He's great.
He'll put more hurt on the people that hit him than put on him.
He's my favorite player to watch at that position. For sure. Like, and he's amazing. So that's like the one thing they got going for him.
That's a big thing, though.
Right. Could they win? Sure. Pittsburgh looks like a team that's ready to compete. They're getting better
off
the
coming back off of injury. And,
yeah.
You know, how many snaps has he taken in the limited offseason that they had?
Right.
You know, working. And you got Juju Smith-Schuster, who is very talented, but, you know, needs the ball near him
right.
to operate with. So.
Yeah, Duck Hodges couldn't exactly get that done last year.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, Ben has the talent to get it done, but he needs to. I just don't know if tomorrow is going to be his game, because as an older player, he's going to be a half step behind on, in good circumstances.
Right.
If they would have had those preseason games, he might not be up to true Ben form. You know, like an older car, sometimes it takes a little bit of putting the foot down before you hit that 60-mile-per-hour mark or whatever, get up to speed, gotta spit out some of the built-up carbon.
Yeah, that sounds just like Big Ben.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's coming off of what could be a catastrophic injury. Just it could have ended his career.
Yeah.
You know, if you watched the way his arm moved whenever he did it last year, it was not fun to look at. He's coming off of Tommy John surgery, and you know, if you're a pitcher, if you know anything about baseball, you know that pitchers have to go through this all the time now. But you know, you don't you'll see a whole lot
to get it before it's ever even right.
Yeah. So it's an elbow thing, and so the question's going to be there: like, is he ready to go? Is he physically ready? Because you're talking about a guy who's in his late 30s. He's not a he's right. no spring chicken. And
no.
once you get to that point where you start, you know, once you hit your 30s, it's hard to heal up. Trust me.
Yeah, you don't rebound nearly as fast as you used to.
No, I hurt everywhere constantly.
Well, I'm 29,
and I'm not a professional football player.
Yeah,
I don't get crushed by giant 6'6", 340-pound defensive tackles.
I can't throw a football without hurting my shoulder.
I can't watch football without hurting sometimes. Yeah, so he's coming off that big injury. Juju Smith-Schuster, who you mentioned, he had a really down year last year after such a great year with Antonio Brown being the number one.
Mm-hmm.
And the question's out there, is Juju a true number one? Can he function without someone like Antonio Brown taking up so much of that coverage?
Yeah.
It's out there, and the only way to really prove it, you know, because I think most of us are willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and say once he's got Big Ben throwing to him, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. James Conner was great a couple of years ago, banged up most of the year last year. If you don't know his story, just understand that he beat cancer.
Yeah.
He beat cancer, so right. he can, whatever's going on, I have faith that he can overcome it.
Right.
He's talented, he's a bigger guy, like 225, runs with power, runs with a lot of, like, anger, you know what I mean? He hits that whole hard, and he crushes people. I like the way he runs. You wonder if it's not maybe conducive to staying healthy, because he
right.
didn't last year.
Yeah, getting slammed every play,
yeah.
you know, meeting a wall.
He can catch passes. He's talented. The defense for the Steelers is really good. Really, really good.
Yeah.
They should be anyway.
Well,
on
yeah,
paper.
They're top fantasy-wise.
Yeah, well, and there's a reason for it. They've got a lot of talent. You know, they've got T.J. Watt, J.J. Watt's little brother.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great pass rusher.
Quote unquote little brother.
Yeah, you know, he's not very little, but he's great. They got a bunch of good players who maybe aren't household names yet, but they'll get there. Yeah, and I fully expect the Steelers to crush the Giants. I can't see
yeah,
past.
Yeah, that's
it.
That's where my money's at too.
But hopefully, I'm hoping
I think
the
Saquon
Giants
will keep the Giants in contention, but the Steelers are going to come away with
I'm
it.
Hoping the Giants keep it close, and I think we could see some major rust from Roethlisberger. So if that's the case, then the Giants could very well come away with it.
Yeah.
But the Steelers defense might even just be able to carry into a win anyway.
Right.
It'll be. I think that's the better matchup of the two.
Yeah.
Like I honestly don't give a fuck about the Titans.
Yeah, I was
gonna
say. Then we got the Titans and the Broncos, and that's all we need to say about that.
Honestly, you know, the Titans are coming off of a run to the AFC Championship.
I can't tell you anybody who plays for the Broncos right now.
Right. Well, Von Miller got hurt.
Yeah.
And he's done for the year, so
wow.
that doesn't help. you know, the Titans are coming off a run to the AFC Championship last year, which it was a miraculous run. And Ryan Tannehill played his ass off at, you know, for like the second half of the season. And he got a nice big fat contract. And, you know, Derrick Henry was unreal.
Mm-hmm.
He was a true workhorse back.
Yeah.
And
he just plays for one of the most boring teams in the league.
They hitched their wagon to him and they just said, "All right,
you do what you gotta do.
You know,
we'll
yeah.
sit back and watch you."
And he's a giant human being at like 6'3", 250 or something. He's just so big.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot more quickness and burst than I think people realized. And you know, he kind of toiled for the last, you know, for the first couple of years of his career, you know, as like a running back by committee. But last year they took the training wheels off and they just let him go and he crushed it.
Yeah, bad or.
But you know,
in the game was like 250 yards. And
yeah. He's
a couple of those.
He's very good, very talented.
But you can't beat your team's entire offense.
Right. Well,
you
so they do have.
There's not much, you know, longevity in it.
Right. They've got AJ Green or AJ Brown, who was a rookie last year, and he's crazy talented.
Right. And I do have him on one of my teams, so I'm
yeah.
excited to see what he does.
He's very talented.
Cause I got him cheap in the auction.
He's very explosive. He's got a lot of speed and burst. It'll be fun to watch and see what happens with that Titans team, if they can take a step forward and win that division and beat out the Texans. The defense is pretty good, and I think that they're a much better team overall than the Broncos. The Broncos are young, pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
Their defense looked like it was going to be really good. They're getting Bradley Chubb back from injury, and then you've got, Von Miller. But, yeah, Miller got hurt, and he's probably, I believe he's done for the year. So that doesn't help. And offensively, Cortland Sutton, as far as I know, he's not playing. I think he's hurt.
Yeah.
They with one of their top picks, they got Jerry Jeudy, who out of Alabama, who is a very talented and explosive athlete. But again, rookie receivers rarely make that much of an impact. And the quarterback for the Broncos is Drew Locke from the University of Missouri. He was a rookie last year, I think, or maybe the year before. Anyway, he's very young, very inexperienced. Played pretty well for the most part last year, but you have to wonder what we're going to see out of him.
Right.
The big key for them is they're going to try to run the ball. They've got Melvin Gordon, they've got Philip Lindsay, and they've got Royce Freeman. A pretty good stable of three backs. Offensive line is improved, but that doesn't take much because their offensive line has been god-awful for like the last 5 years.
Right.
Matchup-wise, it doesn't tickle my wiener at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not something that I'm super excited to watch. I'll watch it because it's football, and I'm super excited about having football back.
Right.
But, I think the Titans blow them out, honestly. I wouldn't be shocked if the Titans were a little rusty, a little bit of like a deep playoff run hangover kind of thing.
Right.
But the way they do their offense, it's we run the ball. That's what we do. So.
So finishing off with a little bit of fantasy advice, or fantasy talk, really. I can't really say what I'm giving as advice. But a couple of players you might be able to slip into your lineup next week that may have gone undrafted. We're in a pretty shallow league, so there's a good chance these people might be taken up. But I have, we got John Brown, receiver for the Buffalo Bills. And they did play the Jets, which, most people are going to have a better game against the Jets than they're going to against most people. But he finished the game with 6 receptions, 70 yards, and a score. So he's getting looked at a lot. He's got, a high volume of targets. And that's, if you're in a PPR league, that's huge.
Right.
So, yeah, he finished with 19 points. Might be a good plug-in. Let's see, where are they at next week? The Bills are in Miami, so another good matchup there.
Yeah, you figure
if
it's
you need
pretty
a flex
matchup.
Play, then he should be good for, 15 points or something. Mm.
Well, so the big concern there, obviously, is Stephon Diggs was, moved over there.
Yeah, he was kept pretty silent.
Yeah, he didn't do a whole lot, so you just wonder if he might get more of a target share. But, one of those things, we talk about chemistry a lot. John Brown was there all year last year for the Bills.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, we're in a situation where Josh Allen trusts him.
Right.
And, and Brown, he might not be amazing, but he's a burner, and he'll get open deep, and Josh Allen has a cannon.
Yeah.
So he likes to throw it deep. So, you're right. He's definitely worthwhile. It's kind of amazing he didn't get drafted considering how well he played last year.
Right.
I think people were just scared of the Stephon Diggs factor.
Yeah. And I would mention Sammy Watkins, but he also had a very big first game last year and then did nothing for the rest of the year. But this week he had 21 points in our league anyway, with 7 receptions, 82 yards, and a score. So he might be worth looking at, but it all depends on, how deep you are. And they're in L.A. at the Chargers next week, so he might be good for some puntos there.
Yeah, in general, just having a Chiefs wide receiver is probably a good idea.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to get Tyreek Hill anytime soon.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with somebody that's catching balls from Pat Mahomes.
Right, it's like Peyton Manning in 04, Didn't matter if you had Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, Dallas Clark, Brandon Stokely, whoever. Mm-hmm. Just, when he's on, when Mahomes is on, and that offense is kicking the way it can, you want a piece of it.
Yeah, and somebody who gets overlooked a lot, but I consider a pretty solid flex option, somebody from our own Chicago Bears, Anthony Miller.
Yeah, you know, Miller's come on strong. He finished with 4 catches for
76 yards.
Yeah, 76 yards on the score. Big score. It was the game winner.
Yeah.
He's very talented. He's got, you know, good speed, good hands, runs great routes.
Another person with good rapport from Trubisky.
People are going to focus a lot on Allen Robinson because Allen Robinson is one of the best receivers in football.
He's the name.
So they're going to focus on him defensively. Miller can be a player. And he finished strong last year. He had a bunch of really good games. I fully expect him to take that next step forward. And throughout the next, you know, throughout this next season, we'll see whether or not he can be that guy. But I like him.
Yeah. And Nyheim Hines.
Yeah.
You had him. You dropped him.
I dropped him.
He finished with only 7 attempts running, 28 yards with his score. But also caught some balls with some decent yardage. 8 receptions, 45 yards on a score.
Yeah, you know, it, so
26 points.
The touchdowns are what carries him this week, but it is worth noting he did have 8 receptions.
Yeah, if you're in a PPR league, that's massive.
It's a big deal. You could put him in your flex. Phillip Rivers loves to throw the ball to the running backs. Yeah. He's a check down Charlie. Like, when he first got in the league, he had one of the best pass catching running backs, just pure running backs, period, of all time in LaDainian Tomlinson. And obviously, that habit has not really left him as he's continued to throw the ball to every running back he's really ever had. Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler, whoever it might have been, they put up points in the passing game. Nyheim Hines is the pass catcher you want out of that backfield, even though Jonathan Taylor did have 6 receptions. Out of the two, as far as pass catchers, Nyheim Hines is the guy you want. Also worth noting, Marlon Mack got hurt, and they're afraid that he tore his Achilles. So he's probably done for a significant amount of time, if not the rest of the year.
Right.
So right now, it's Jonathan Taylor as your main back, and Nyheim Hines should see an increased amount of snaps. So the potential for him is sky high.
Right. And so now I want to talk about Dallas Goedert, because another person that you could have plugged in and played, but you didn't.
I did not.
Tight end for Philly. He was good for 29 points in our league.
Yeah, we get a bonus for 100 yards.
Yeah,
and that's
8 receptions, 101 yards, and a score.
Yeah.
You know, if you're catching 8 passes, then you're obviously a major player for the offense. But they have Zach Ertz, so that things could change. He might not see those targets consistently.
Right. Yeah, you know, the one thing I can say for Goedert that he has going for him, he's obviously extremely talented. He is number 2 on the depth chart because, you're right, they have Zach Ertz, and Ertz is one of the best tight ends in football.
Yeah, he's proven. He's
track
a
record,
talent.
And he's probably Wentz's favorite target.
Yeah.
But the one thing I can definitely say for him is that wide receiver core in Philadelphia is bad. There's just the guys they have are hurt, or just, you know, Jalen Reagor's probably their best option at wide receiver right now, and he's a rookie, and so you got to get that chemistry between the quarterback and the rookie receiver. DeSean Jackson is old, and you just know that there's going to be, as long as he's healthy, there's going to be 2 or 3 games where he goes off for 100 yards and a score or two, but those are so few and far between, he's really not worth plugging into your lineup. If he couldn't do it against Washington this week, he's probably just not going to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Goedert, they're going to play a lot of double tight because those two guys are so talented. And the focus is always going to be on Ertz. So if Goedert is out there and he's getting snaps, he's going to get catches. He's going to get his opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a slight chance he could end up overtaking Ertz as the number 1.
Yeah.
Never know.
Yeah, and then there was Hockenson, who finished with a respectable 16 points. Well, again, in our league, your scoring might be different, but it's 5 receptions, 56 yards, and a score.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty decent game out of the tight end spot, and he's they're number one as far as tight ends go in Detroit. So, I mean, he might be getting those kind of looks on a more regular basis. And they're in Green Bay next week, which I don't know what that really, what effect that has on it, you know, his production. But,
yeah,
I don't know. Might be worth, if you're looking for some strength in the tight end spot, he might be worth a look.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because this is one of the deeper years for tight end I can remember, you know, because guys like Jack Doyle and Mike Gesicki, they're not getting drafted. And I know they didn't have a great week one, but those are guys who I fully expect they're going to be impactful players.
They've done it before
players.
And they can do it again.
Right. I expect that impact.
Well, Eric Ebron hasn't played, but I've had him a couple of different years, and he's gotten me through some tough spots.
He's a touchdown machine when things are right. And Ben Roethlisberger, generally speaking, we haven't seen a whole lot of tight end production from Roethlisberger and the Steelers. But, you know, with the kind of talent Ebron brings with him, you never know. He could end up being a pretty big deal. I'm pretty sure Ebron would have been drafted before most of those guys.
Yeah.
But if he's out there, obviously he's a guy to watch, and we'll see how that goes on Monday.
Right. And I would talk about Mitch Trubisky, but today, I don't know what it was, if it was a fluke or what. He finished, again, in our league with 32 points, 242 yards, 3 touchdowns with no interceptions. But that was all in like the last 6 minutes of the game.
Well,
for the most part.
Most of his production did come late. But, you know, here's the thing. Trubisky, he's not a good quarterback as far as like an NFL quarterback, but he's been pretty good fantasy-wise if you've had him at different times. You know, he's not a plug-and-play guy, but if you're in an emergency situation and you just need a guy or like a two-quarterback league, he's probably someone you want to look at. Or like if you do daily FanDuel or DraftKings, that kind of stuff.
Got some high value.
He's going to be cheap.
You can buy him low, and there's a good chance that he's going to come away with some high points.
Yeah, you know, he's the same guy just a couple of years ago threw for 6 touchdowns. So there's always potential for him to put up big numbers.
But somebody I would look, you know, I'd probably consider a little bit more strongly would be Gardner Minshew. Because he was a very efficient quarterback today. He only had 173 yards, but he had 3 scores and only missed, what, one pass?
One pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you got points for that, he'd be great. You know,
finished the game with 27 points.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty damn good for somebody so deep in the charts.
Yeah.
You know, as far as fantasy goes.
He's in a situation where their team is bad, and I know they won today, but it is a bad team.
Yeah.
And they're going to be down most of the time. So he's going to have to throw the ball a lot. They don't have a great running game, but the receivers are pretty good. They got DJ Chark and D.D. Westbrook, handful of other guys that are pretty good pass catchers. I fully expect him to throw the ball quite a bit. And, you know, it might not always translate to a lot of success. But, again, if you're in a two-quarterback league or you're just in a crazy deep league and you're in an emergency situation, there's no reason at all why Gardner Minshew shouldn't fit in there.
Right. Yeah, so, man, that's really all I wanted to cover. You know, a couple receivers, running back, tight end. You know,
I got a couple guys that I think maybe. So, like, I have Malcolm Brown, but I was missing a bunch of draft picks.
Yeah.
And so I had to dig deep for potential. And it's not like he's an out-of-nowhere guy. He's had some varying levels of success with the Rams, but he today, out of Cam Akers, Daryl Henderson, and Malcolm Brown, Cam Akers was going the highest in any fantasy draft, and Daryl Henderson was the second highest. Malcolm Brown, for the most part, wasn't even being drafted.
Yeah, and he finished the game with 79 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns.
He was involved in the passing game. He had
three receptions, 31 yards. I mean,
they used him a lot. And,
he was a player today.
When they got to the red zone and they got to the goal line situations, he was the guy.
And he wears a pretty good number.
Wears a great number, 34. Yeah. Yeah, he's a battering ram. He's one of the bigger guys. And he showed a lot of explosiveness and burst to get through the lanes. I think he's well worth a pickup if he's out there. He should be one of those guys that you're targeting pretty high.
Yeah. And again, AP, you know, he might be somebody worth considering. I mean,
you know, it's tough
to
say.
He's old, but if you need somebody for a game, you know, he might be able to pull some shit off.
Yeah, fuck, he was really good today.
Yeah. And, saw somebody else too. Oh, Peyton Barber.
Yeah, Peyton Barber decent got a game. Lot of snaps for the Redskins.
Or, yeah, well, he not did a lot of goal line work, it looks like.
The Washington football team.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't say that, Alex.
So. Yeah, the racial slurs.
But yeah, he had two scores. I mean, if they're going to use him for goal line stuff, then, man, for a fantasy player in a flex spot, you really can't ask for more at 14 points.
Yeah.
I mean, two scores. If they're going to have somebody doing all the legwork and gaining all the yards just for somebody to come in and get the scores, I'd rather have the person that's going to be doing the scoring.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
If you don't have bonuses in your league, then what the hell is yardage?
You probably just want to steer clear of Washington just in general in fantasy right now.
Yeah.
Other than Terry McLaurin, there's nobody that really wows you.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of hype for Antonio Gibson, rookie, who's, like, converting from receiver to running back, so... He should catch a lot of passes. He was pretty much a non-factor today. We'll see how he goes. But, yeah, pretty much just steer clear of Washington. I know that they won today, but think of that as being fool's gold.
Yeah, that's a... I think you call it a fluke.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no way they should have beat Philly.
Mm-mm. No.
They did it.
They did. They managed to do it. And, you know, it was a cool moment because, you know, Ron Rivera is the new coach there. And for all of the turmoil that's been happening with that organization, and just in general, obviously with, you know, COVID and everything else, but, you know, he's got cancer. He was diagnosed with cancer, and he's still out there coaching. He got his first win. It was a really cool moment where they showed in the locker room, the players gave him the game ball, and I think he kind of started to choke up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really cool. Good story. I hope for good things for Ron Rivera. You know, he's a former Bear.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, he seems like a genuinely good dude, and it was a cool story. And but yeah, fantasy wise, stay away.
Yeah. Defensively, the Chargers had a pretty decent game.
They did.
13 points.
There. They've got great pass rushers and they've got great corners.
Picked up a fumble and got an interception, held them down to 13 points.
Yeah, they're a good defense.
So if you need an option there, that might be worth looking at.
I think
they're in KC next week.
Yeah, they play the Chiefs, so yeah, you're gonna steer clear.
Never mind. Disregard former statement.
So yeah, that's our look into fantasy. That's our look into this past week. Here's hoping Monday night provides with a little more excitement than we're expecting.
Yeah,
but
looks like some snoozers, but you never know.
It doesn't look great. But yeah,
hopefully we can get back to this next week and, you know, keep on doing something steady.
Yeah.
We'll probably screw up at some point and miss a few weeks here and there, but we won't anticipate that.
Right.
We're going to do what we can to get you the information.
Yeah, get you all the information after it's already happened.
Yeah.
Booyah.
Right. Hindsight is 2020.
Damn straight. And we're in 2020.
That's right.
Oh, snap.
Oh, shit. It's our year.
Yeah. Also, take a look at our... me and Tyler Dojan are breaking down our top 10 lists for players all time at every position. We started off with safeties. We have corners done. That'll be out here soon. I am an absolute sucker for a top 10 list.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep saying that. I watch top 10 lists like it's like no tomorrow. I'm the type of idiot that would seriously sit there when VH1 would do like their top 100 and like, oh, this top greatest songs of the 1980s. I'm like, yeah. Oh, I'm watching this shit.
All of it.
So, you know, I love top 10 lists. And I love football, so it's like a no-brainer. I've watched like every one of those NFL Network top 10s and... You know, I'm not going to say that we're as good. we're as good at doing that, but,
If you get a boner for in-depth sports talk, then this should get you chubby, nice, and solid.
Yeah. I'm the type of dude that will get in arguments at the bar, like screaming matches over who the greatest running back is of all time and things like that. I will go to bat.
He'll take swings.
Yeah. But, I guess... That should just about do it for us.
Yeah, I think that wraps her up. We're well over an hour into this.
Yeah. You know, a lot to talk about, a lot of football. I'm so glad it's back. Can't say enough. Oh, how about this? Let's talk real quick, not at all about football, but the Cubs, they won, like 11-0, and Alec Mills, just some nobody who was a college walk-on, and you know he's struggled to get playing time at the major league level. 28 years old, threw a no-hitter today in Milwaukee. Yeah. It was really cool.
Got somebody in their own division that made it even better.
It was awesome. I didn't catch the whole game. Obviously, I was watching football, but I did watch the last couple innings on my phone, and that was cool. Football's great. So glad it's back. That should be just about it.
Yeah, thanks for listening, if you did listen.
Yeah, don't blame me if you didn't, because, you know, it's sports.
Yeah, because it's a sports talk, and I don't know anything about sports. as obvious by some of the comments I've made.
Yeah, well, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
But, yeah, thanks again for listening, and good night.
Go football.
Go football! Ba 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 ba